co-authors. Nikki McLaren is a doctoral student in the Department of Communication Sciences, and Pat Huddleston, professor of retailing, Charlie, who's here, and Tom Fernandez. This piece is part of an SCRI-funded Clean Water 3, and so we thank them for that funding. So each day in the U.S., there are approximately 700 water recycling facilities, and they treat 34 billion gallons of water every day. Now, about 10% of that goes to home, residential irrigation, toilet flushing, and some other uses. But how that water is treated varies widely. It can include microfiltration, reverse osmosis, ultraviolet light treatment. So there are many ways that water gets treated, and the goal is to get people to use that water again and perceive that it is safe for certain uses. But there are perceptual barriers to getting people to adopt this, and primarily it is in the literature called the yuck or the disgust factor, because there's the perception that there is feces or poop in the water. So we'll just call it the yuck factor. Disgust was the most commonly cited factor determining the use of recycled water, and it's a false perception that the water contains feces or other toxins, and it consistently appears as a barrier to use. In fact, in Australia, about 10 years ago, 70% of the survey participants believed there was putrefied sewage and 60% believed there was human waste in the remediated water. Now, people up front will say, only 2% of them will say that that is a barrier to them, but really the psychological measure of disgust was the strongest predictor of their decision to not use recycled water. So our goal was to understand a little bit better of how to market this concept, because there is no consistency in how the water is treated and what we call the water. So we wanted to understand the effects of terminology or semantics, and also understand the influence of priming messages. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. So we collected data online from September 12th to 18th in 2017. It was an online survey. And the first question that we asked subjects was, what was their water source and how risky did they perceive their water source to be for a number of uses? And it was a 5-point Likert scale. 1 was extremely risky and 5 was extremely safe. So more, a higher rating indicated that it was perceived to be more safe. So half of the subjects saw an identical survey using the word recycled, and the other half of the survey saw everything was using the word reclaimed. Their first question was a free response one, what was in the water, and I presented that yesterday. Next, they were given a list of contents of what potentially could be in that water, and they were asked to indicate if they believe that component was in that water, and then we asked them how safe the water was for a variety of uses. We next then gave them a priming message, and so we took the two halves of the sample. 1/3 saw that the water reclaimed or recycled was from a plant production nursery or greenhouse. Another 1/3 were primed with the message that water came from residential use. And then 1/3 received no priming message, but they were all asked about the perception of safety and the appropriate use of the water again. We had 1,259 completed responses, which passed 4 quality assurance checks to make sure that each subject was reading every question. So there was approximately 200 people per word per priming condition. So I showed the demographics yesterday, and the only difference that we saw between the samples that saw the word reclaimed water versus recycled water was that the individuals who saw the word reclaimed were about 3 years older than the people who saw the word recycled. So we were satisfied that these were very comparable samples, and yeah, that we were satisfied that they were comparable samples. So I presented some of this yesterday, and I'm going to briefly show it again. This table shows us the percentage of people who saw each of these terms, whether it was an appropriate, or would they use water, would they use the reclaimed or the recycled water for cooking, washing produce. The first several are classified as personal direct, where the human comes into contact or consumes the water. And then we have personal but indirect, so washing a pet, flushing the toilet. It's a personal use, but they don't come in contact. Their body doesn't ingest or have an influence from the water. And then lastly, if I can get the mouse to work again, the firefighting and the irrigation of the public park are considered public uses. And so what you'll notice is that as we go from personal direct to personal indirect, the difference in the perception that it's appropriate for using that type of water disappears. And so what we see is consistently for the more personal uses, the word recycled is considered a better term, that because a higher percentage of people would use recycled water for cooking, washing produce, et cetera, et cetera. So the more indirect uses, the difference evaporates. And so we're not asking people to consume recycled or reclaimed water, but it's very clear that they would prefer to use recycled water compared to reclaimed water. So what I really want to focus on is the influence of the priming messages. So after we, and of course, you know, they're talking about water, so they're being primed in other ways. They're being sensitized to what potentially could be in that water and what's an appropriate use. So it was after this that we gave them the priming message that the water came from a residential area, that the water came from a nursery or plant production farm or facility. And then a third did not, the control group did not get a priming message. And our hypothesis was that because of the yuck factor or the poop factor or the disgust factor, that the nursery priming message would be perceived as a safer, less risky water source compared to the residential or no message at all. Because again, even the control group is being primed because we're talking about what could potentially be in that water. So specifically what we told them was, and it's in quotes is what they saw, depending on where you lived, and here's where we use the water term, water is regulated to be of a certain quality when is ready for reuse. Here we use the word, they saw their word again, to mean that the water was, their word again, from a plant production nursery or farm or residential use. And that's where the priming message different came from. And then using this definition, how risky do you believe it is to use recycled or reclaimed for the following uses? So when we look at the personal direct uses, what we did see was that the nursery priming message had a higher perceived risk score, which meant that it was perceived to be safer compared to the individuals that saw the residential prime, which was similar to those who saw no prime. So we didn't get a reduction in the poop or disgust factor using the residential prime, but we got a lift or an increase in perceived safety for those personal direct uses and the one personal indirect, bathing or showering. Now remember, we're not asking them to consume this. We're thinking more about using this in other ways. So the one where it was a significant difference, but it was not very large, was for watering ornamental plants. And then we had one where the perceived risk for the nursery prime in washing the car was a little bit lower. Now this one is a bit perplexing. Not really sure why that happened, but we were... It's there, but we were happy to see that for the most intimate use of recycled or reclaimed water, that the nursery priming message gave it a positive lift. So our conclusion was that the nursery priming message reduced the risk compared to the residential priming message or no priming message. So when we used that, the water came from a plant production nursery or farm, that they deemed it to be appropriate or less risky, especially for personal direct uses like cooking or drinking. For personal indirect uses, we either found a similar level of risk, or with the washing of the car, it was a slightly lower, but we don't believe that that's a preponderance of the evidence that would lead us to say that using that nursery priming message could make that water use perception more risky. And then for public uses, we found no change in the relative risk or perceived safety when the priming message was used. And so we believe that when plant production facilities are recycling their water, that if they talk about the fact that the water is being reclaimed or recycled, and we would prefer that they use the word recycled, it will give them a positive perception, and it can, in fact, I think, increase the perhaps increase the likelihood that people might purchase that. So purchase a product if they knew that the farmer facility was being environmentally responsible. So a couple of implications that we think come to light from this particular body of research. So the ignorance in this sample, some of the work I presented yesterday on the contents, the ignorance by this sample and other samples about what is in recycled or reclaimed water can be used as an educational opportunity. Clearly, there's a lot of ambiguity around these terms, and people really don't know what is in their water. And we know from other bodies of literature that words or semantics matter. And it's interesting, when you look at some of the research related to the use of the word global warming versus climate change, that it significantly alters a subject's perspective if you talk about something with regard to global warming or you talk about something with regard to climate change. We get vastly different perceptions. And so we think something similar could happen here. And what we would like to encourage policymakers and especially plant producers is to take action on the perception of recycled water, and by using it and talking about the source of the water that's going to be reused, they can help improve the perception in the general public's eyes of their own business. And with that, I did pretty well. I will see what questions or comments that you have. Sue. Yeah, so the question was, did they perceive that there would be pesticides or fertilizers involved in that process? And it could have been part of the recycling message that we gave them that said it was safe to be reused again, but we didn't talk about reverse osmosis. We didn't talk about ultraviolet light. We didn't talk about microfiltration. We didn't talk about phytoremediation. We didn't say how that was done, because we really wanted to see, could we alter their perception by using the source priming message? And clearly it's the poop factor that comes from the residential use that is the biggest barrier. But I think in the future, looking at their perception of what is in the contents of that could perhaps alter their perception. What was interesting to me was when we talked about using this water on edible plants and on ornamental plants, we did get a difference. And I didn't show that today, but I specifically included that because, again, that's a personal direct, and that's where we get the biggest phobias, is in the drinking and the cooking, toothbrushing. And my hypothesis was we'd see that for edible crops. So I think we got to be careful. Tom. So the question was, were we using it in a synonymous context? We did not give them a definition of that, but we said that the water was used again and consistently used the term recycled or reclaimed, because except in a very few states, there's a lot of ambiguity around the terms.
Water would have statutes governs that. And even within that reclaim statute, there are different qualities of water that can be used. But reclaim this water, and I believe in some other states, is specifically...
Yeah, there are four states where there is consistency in the, what that term is.
Well, I may not be exactly right specifically where for that, but when we talk about reclaimed water in the state, we are talking about water on sewage treatment facilities. That is processed to different degrees, and our highest quality water is chlorinated, and it works very, very well. What I've done with nursery crops, landscapes and golf courses, and chlorinated can be used in public areas, and you can be used on fruit crops as long as they're peeled or processed before they're used. So I would just, you know, as a group of scientists working in this area, hopefully can keep our terminology.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on that, because clearly the perception that reclaimed water is more risky. And if we could associate some quality level with the word recycled, whether it is how it is treated, we will get more perceptual buy-in. But clearly when you label nationwide, when you label water reclaimed, it is perceived as being risky without even saying how it was treated to the level of quality that it could be treated. There is a lot of ambiguity. But thank you. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, you had the question. Yeah. No.
And I'm curious as to like how that, you know, cooking fuels
the perception of risk.
Yes.
I don't think that one was in today. That was in yesterday's.
Oh.
So this was the one. So this is the percent of each sample who believed that either calling it reclaimed or recycled was that they would use it for this purpose.
I'm wondering if they have some sort of like pre-education that like a lot of our tap water is recycled, for example. I'm curious because 67% saying they would drink recycled water seems really high to me. I don't know if you can comment on that.
Well, we did not define the terms deliberately for them, and we did that because we were trying to understand what the perception was of the term. So the more meaning you could give to that, some of that may erode or evaporate. But particularly for marketing the reuse of water, when we talk about it as reclaimed, that yuck perception is there. When we talk about it as recycled, we believe that because Americans are recycling more, there's a positive halo effect around that term. And so we see the difference in perception, just as they found in global warming and climate change, the difference between these two words. Now, obviously, there's an opportunity for policymakers to help educate consumers, back to Tom's point, about how this is treated and the level that it truly is safe. We weren't asking them, would you drink? And we may not ask them to drink reclaimed, recycled water. But clearly for those personal direct uses, what they believe is when we call it one thing, recycled, that it is safer than when we call it something else. Yeah, it's a big difference, but 1,250-something people and an N of 200 for each of the priming messages. So we feel pretty confident in the statistics. Yeah. Charlie.
How can we implement the program that we're talking about?
That's a good question.
Given that either water that's reclaimed or recycled is commingled, so to speak, with the main water supply. Unless it's kept separate, you're in the country and you're in a septic system and you have a separate, you keep that water separate. But for a lot of that water, it's commingled with fresh water.
Right. So Charlie's question is the reuse on the same facility versus reuse in the general public. And so our goal for this study was to really help the nurseries and greenhouses who are recirculating, recycling, reusing their water to show them that A, using the word recycled will give them a more positive perception, and B, specifically saying that it was on-site recycled will give them a benefit. Our earlier work with willingness to pay for some of these environmentally friendly practices is there. We didn't measure that in this particular study, but we believe if they could talk about recycling from their facility, that it was safe for that second reuse, whether it's on their tags, on their websites, but somehow communicate that to the general public, can help improve the perception that the public has about that particular farm. I think taking this out, we're going to have to associate legal definitions with to what level is this water treated and how safe is it for a lot of these different uses. But our goal really for this study was to help the nursery industry. Ben. Absolutely. I see your point, but I think the logic here is when they perceive that water being safer for those personal direct uses, that we would get a lift, that we would get a lift. I think so. I think so. But we do for the personal direct uses, and that is still part of that cognitive process. I think it's still part of that cognitive process. Because we wouldn't see it if they didn't believe, if they didn't perceive that it's safer for those personal direct uses. If there was no difference there and no difference the rest of the way down, I would say it really doesn't matter. But clearly for the stuff that's important to them, that consumption, that we do get a difference. And I think that we could get that halo carryover for the nursery. I mean, I statistically, yeah, but it gives us the first step into saying, yes, we could generate some differences. But obviously, no study answers all questions. So, you know, this would be really good for a willingness to pay. Charlie.
So we know those potential private messages for the application for growers,
mm-hmm.
but for the general public, can we deduce any sort of priming messages that might be effective for the general public talking about water in general?
I think back to Tom's point, we policymakers need to be a little more explicit about how water is treated and the level to which it is safe for these different uses, because there's clearly ambiguity and a negative perception of this word reclaimed. So those are some early steps, but if we could get policymakers to say recycled water is fit for some of these personal direct uses and reclaimed water is only fit for public uses, or however they're going to define it, perhaps over time we could get some separation there. My thought. Yeah. Any other